you. Brother Rufus Chandler has pastored Concord Church for many years, 12 or 13. He now is the pastor at Mixie, and you all know him. He attends this association. I don't know of anybody that's been more regular to attend this association than he has, and I appreciate him and I love him. I've known him since he was, well, I want to think he's as old as I am, but I've known him since he was born. Okay. God bless you, brother.
Bless you. Brother Moderator.
Brother Chandler.
Messengers and friends and loved ones of this association. I want to say, before I start, the association has been good to me and for me. And yes, I love the association. Because of the fellowship that I've had with my brothers and sisters. I've heard a lot of people make testimonies, and I've never heard nobody give the same testimony that somebody else did. I mean, I've heard thousands. I've said this in where I'm pastoring. It's always a little different how it comes to you, but there's only one salvation.
Amen.
From the same source, but it's manifested different. And I've got mine. I've never heard nobody else tell it like mine was. So, but you know what God says. Peter said, be ready always to give an account of that hope that you have in Christ Jesus. You may not know what the Bible says, all of it, and what the Holy Spirit, and how it done, but you can always tell what God's done for you.
Amen.
I love to hear a person tell of their salvation experience. And I love to hear when they say who gave them of that salvation. You know, Jesus don't save. Jesus is the Savior. God saves for Christ's sake. Jesus shed his blood. So yes, Jesus is the most important of it. God didn't give his blood. God gave his Son to give his blood. And he chose the medium of a virgin. In my way, my thought, I'm going to tell you what it is before we get started. Been on my mind about 3 months now. Jesus is what it's all about. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
In Scripture, let's turn to Philippians. The second chapter and first verse. I'm going to read some because I want us to see it's Jesus, it's all about Jesus. And not about us. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bounds of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Let's read 1 through 11. I find no other name that'll be above the name Jesus.
Amen.
It hurts me so bad to hear somebody's name now, Jesus. I'm so glad, brother, Dr. Lemus at Huntington, somebody said, you know, his name is spelled J-E-S-U. He said, but I want you to know, it's not Jesus, it's Jesu. Well, he wasn't responsible who gave him his name, but I'm glad that he played it down like it's supposed to be. I wouldn't want to, Jesus is a name above every name.
Amen.
A song was written about it. Jesus. It's just something about that name that Bill Gaither and his wife Gloria wrote. What can you do when your child is like a six-month-old baby? How many prayers was offered up? But who was he talking to? Jesus. He had the power. He could have done things to that little one that nobody else could do.
Amen.
But it wasn't his will. We don't understand why bad things happens to good people. But we can see sometimes the results of that, how great a patience they had, and how that they worshiped, and how they turned it all to God. Look at Job. Wouldn't speak evil of God. Told his wife when he said, "Why don't you just blaspheme and curse God and die?" He said, "Thou speakest a foolish one." Why? He didn't know why he was in that situation. When the devil got a chance, he tore his home all to pieces. He done everything to him that he could do, except the one thing that God said you can't do, and that's to take his life.
Amen.
He lost his children. He lost his farm. He lost his all of the head. Down to a, he was in sackcloth and set in ashes, and would desire to have the dogs had more compassion over him than the devil. They come by and he'd lick his sore. That was the rich man Lazarus. The rich man didn't want to give him anything, not even the crumbs that fell from his table. Moreover, the dogs came by and licked his sore. I think they were sent by God. I really do. That's one thing that'll help us soothe. That's really true. There's enzymes in those dogs' mouth that help sores. I hope that's right. Is that not right, Doc? Okay. And that's something I admire great, is our medical field. You know, some preachers try to get behind the pulpit and heal us to the extent that we need to go to God and never go to a doctor or a physical doctor. I don't care how you get healed. I don't care if you're sick with stomach. I don't care what happens for and how you get healed. God gets the honor and glory of it all.
Amen.
Because they wouldn't have their wisdom and knowledge if it didn't come from God. And if he heals you divinely, it comes from God. If he uses a medium of things that he's left here for all these doctors and scientists to put together to give us penicillin. I can go right now to a place where there's five or six little ones laying right there in a row where a parent lost all of them 1 year to pneumonia before penicillin came in existence. One of the greatest things was ever invented was penicillin. More shots have been given probably a penicillin than anything else. So, you can't doctor from here. You can tell them who the doctor is. And I'm not talking about the physician doctor that we go to. We can tell them about the only doctor there is that can heal sin sick soul.
Amen.
And that's Jesus, because Amen. He is the Savior.
Amen.
And so Jesus is what it's all about. It's not about us.
Amen.
I didn't know. I told my church that I'm pastoring now. It's not my church. I told Mixie. It's their church. And I'm part of it. But I told them this was, I even told them my subject. I don't never do that. Now, you even told some of my preacher brother. And I don't never do that. He would tell some yesterday what my thought was. And I've never done that. Because most of the time I ever mention it to my wife, I get sitting here and get ready to the last song, and I've had it to be changed.
That's right.
Because then I just didn't. But this has been so strong on me for the last 3 months. I knew that this is what God wanted me to preach. And this, I followed this brother yesterday. It scares me to death. God gave him a wonderful message, and he delivered it great. And my toes are not just only sore, my feet are this morning. He walked all over them. I mean, he even got to the heels. And that's hard to do. But he got there. But Jesus, God chose. Let's see how. God chose that name before Jesus was ever born.
Amen.
Isaiah even called him Emmanuel. What is that? It's God with us. Jesus is not mentioned in the Old Testament, but he's there everywhere.
Amen.
The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the little type of that Moses was resting in when he was taken out of the. Those things represent Jesus.
Amen.
The Ark that Noah built represented Jesus.
Amen.
Because the description was given, there was enough room for every individual that was on the face of the earth to be in there and land safely on the other side of the flood.
Amen.
But they chose not to listen to Noah's message. They didn't. And sometimes you get discouraged, preachers. We do this.
Yeah.
And even church does this. When we preach our heart out, and you prayed your heart out, and done everything that God we're asked to do by the Word of God in Acts 2nd, 3rd, and 4th chapters, we do all of those things, and yet we don't see many saved. It's not our fault if we do what God wants us to do.
Amen.
One time, as a old preacher, he's done dead and gone now, Brother W.T. Russell, we were just talking about it one time. He said, we're talking about being discouraged when there was none saved in revival. I have beat myself to death going home on Friday or Saturday night. Nobody been saved. I beat myself to death. Why? Did I preach something wrong? Did I not get it over to them? And always talking about it, and Brother Russell said, did you preach what God wanted you to preach? I said, with all my ability, I thought I did. He said, well, can you convict? I said, no. He said, can you save? I said, oh, Lord, no. He says, you do what you're supposed to do. We don't do the conviction. God sends the Holy Spirit to do those things.
Amen.
We sure don't save. God held those things in his own hand.
Amen.
I might be a little partial, but God is not partial. He is the same to one and all, to the rich and up and the poor and down. He's to everyone. As the song says, Jesus, Jesus, he can wipe the brow of a baby that is being burned up with fever. And just all of a sudden, come right out of it. Next thing you know, they reached up and they're playing with their playthings. Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. He's there pleading our case.
Amen.
You know, there was a one, and I'll give this illustration to show what Jesus is going to do and what he is right now. Boy got in trouble. He went and got the best lawyer he could find. And told him and he was guilty of the crime. But this was a great lawyer. And everything worked out and he got the boy out of that crime. Or out of the penalty of that crime. Everything went good for about 20 years. And he done another crime and had to go back into the legalistic. He looked for his lawyer that he had before and couldn't find him. He got another one. They went before, they got in there and went before the jury and the judge. But he walked into the courtroom and he looked on the bench and there was his lawyer sitting behind the judge and being the judge in a particular case. He went up and he said, you remember me? You remember me? He says, yes, I remember you. He said, you got me out the first time. He said, I'm depending on you this time. He said, wait a minute. I was your lawyer. I was the mediator between you and the judge. But said, now I am your judge. That's what Jesus is. Jesus is now our lawyer, our propitiation, one between us, the Holy Spirit, and God.
Amen.
But one day, he's going to be the judge because he's the right one and the righteous one. And dear friend, if you're here, and as we go back to thinking about when we was lost, amen, who do we go to? I said, Lord, help me. I found out mother couldn't help me, daddy couldn't help me, the church couldn't help me, and a preacher had all kind of confidence in, he hadn't helped me, and Brother John McCarthy, I didn't like him, because he used to pray, and he'd get through praying, pray with eyes open, and he'd always have a pool of water at the end of it, at the golden floor. I've heard him say, Lord, I want to bother you just a little while, and pray. Man, that was the best looking fella I've ever seen when I got saved. He can sleep in my bed anytime. But that's one reason I didn't like him. I lose my bed when he come and spend a week with us when revival's going on.
Amen.
Well, I wish I had my bed now. I'd give him my bed on the floor any night.
Amen.
That man could get in touch with God.
Amen.
Those tears was not tears that he was shed for his own self, because he had all he needed for salvation. It was for the salvation of others.
Amen.
That he had. Jesus. It's all about him and not about us.
Amen.
Who do we call on when we get in trouble? Jesus. God.
Amen.
The Lord. I found out looking through the Bible one night, I couldn't sleep several years ago. 236 times in the Bible that Jesus mentioned. Name. That's what I said in the Old Testament. His name's not Jesus, but it's all those other things.
Amen.
The bright morning star, the lily of the valley. He is the main one. And I looked up old man Lucifer and the devil and all of them. He's got 19 names that he's mentioned of in the Bible. Jesus preached. He preached. What did he preach? He talked about heaven one time. And he called out the hell 9 times. Jesus. Now let's get some. What is it? I've heard messages that didn't even have Jesus in it. That's not the will of God.
That's right.
Because that's not the gospel. We're to preach the gospel, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. You may say, I've heard people say, well, I don't go over here, those fellas. He's a doctrinal preacher. Well, if you preach the Bible, you're a doctrinal preacher because that's the doctrine.
Amen.
The Word of God is a doctrine of God.
Amen.
There's not anything that you can't find an answer to in the Word of God.
Right.
If you look, it's there. I've seen and I've looked up things and I see my life in it. And I didn't like what the Bible said, but it didn't make it untrue. It was still true.
Amen.
You can't take and do this. You know, there's some talk about how crazy, but they leave Jesus out. They make a statement in preaching and not just do it one time, but do it 2 times. And tell them what the Bible should say and not what it says. That's changing the Word of God or trying to change the Word of God. If you put something that should be this way, that's definitely in your mind that you would rewrite the Bible if you had the chance. Making a statement. Abraham prayed the wrong prayer. When he prayed, save Ishmael and make him a great nation. Said it should have been this. How ungodly a statement should be made to this. He should have prayed, Lord, save Ishmael, but kill him. That's not the gospel. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that he prayed for Ishmael to make him a great nation, that he be saved and make him a great nation. Yes, turmoil is over because of Ishmael and Isaac. There is all kind of wars over it.
Amen.
It's there. It's been there for years and years and years. And all the great preachers that I know of have preached through the thing. And it's always was there when they did, always here. But the main thing we need to be preaching is Jesus.
Amen.
You can't be saved without hearing the gospel. And I've always been told when I was growing up, even this, and I've told it myself because it to be true, can't be saved unless you've heard the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel is this. In 17, let's go right here. Go to Isaiah 7:14. Here's where the name was for it. In 750 years before Christ ever came on scene. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And that's being God with us.
Amen.
That's where we come. Now let's go to Matthew. And we see where the name Jesus come from. And why it came from there. Excuse me. The angel done come to Mary. But you know that scared her to death when that happened to her? Happened? When she started seeing herself grow, espoused to a man, which means in the Old Testament, the Jewish thing, was legally married in a sense. Joseph was nowhere around. He was doing like the Jews done. He was going over and at another place because it said, come to him. Right? They go and prepare a place for him and his bride. But his spouse, that means it could have been by the time they were born, their parents got together and put them together. I don't know what it means in this situation. But I know he was gone and he was doing exactly what the Jewish thing said. He was preparing a place for him and his bride. Well, she got that way. He was nowhere around. And it's, don't you know, it scared her. But the angel come and told her what was in store, what happened. She'd be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
She couldn't see. Then he also, Joseph heard about this. It troubled him at first. How he could put her away. He thought about those things. He pondered them in his mind. But then the angel of the Lord came to him and said, fear not to take Mary, thy wife. Because what is of her is of God, and it's holy. And if you call, let's read. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ, is first chapter of Matthew, and starting 18th verse, was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together and she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and I shall call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
Name above every name. God gave him his name. I think God would have the right to do whatever he wanted to do. He can do that. You know, there's some things God don't do and can't do because he chooses not to. If you're here and you're not been saved and you don't want to be saved, God can't save you. He can't save you if you don't want to be saved. And another thing God can't do, he can't see your past sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Can he? Could he? Sure he could. But he chooses not to. Give us a clean slate The whole man. He wipes those things out. He starts us on a new sheet. This new sheet, some said, well, I'm going to turn over a new sheet. That's salvation. No, God gives you a new sheet.
Amen.
The things you do before you get saved, he'll never remember. He'll never mention them to you. It'll never be on your record. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we've been saved. He'll not be on our record. It's gone. We'll start from the time he saves us. And sometimes we bring back that old man and live like that old man, and that's not God's will, brother. How many here would like to see on the board back here everything you've done since you got up? Everything you thought since you got up? Would you like to have prayed up there? Well, I'm telling you, God's keeping a record of it. He said everything's going to be brought before us. He said, you will give an account of whatever you did, whether it's for me or against me. Whatever you did, good or bad, you're going to give an account of it. Sometimes I shake when I think about what I thought, what's crossed my mind. I want to tell you something right quick. It's not a sin to be tempted, but it's sin to yield to temptation.
Amen. Amen.
David didn't sin when he seen her, Bathsheba, down on the porch. On top of her house. He didn't sin when he seen that. But when he desired and went and got her, that's when the sin come in. He yielded to that sin.
Amen.
I heard Brother Jones say he never seen so much flesh in all his life in Sin City. He's got a mission going in Panama City, I think it is. He never seen. Well, I don't tell you something about Brother Jones. I don't believe that man sinned. I think he's sinned. You can't keep him sinned. But he never did anything as far as he went. The same way it was in Jamaica. He preaches God, he preaches Jesus, and he preaches hard against the way to dress. He's a good missionary and a hard missionary. He preaches Jesus. I've heard him preach. I've heard him follow me. And maybe when I be there, he followed me. But I want to tell you something. He always got up in his invitation when he would give it a little. He knew how to give the invitation or present it to them and how he's done. And he would sometime in and get it. He'd always talk about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. It's all about him.
And another place, talking about it, I said question a while ago because it was covered great. It wasn't nothing these boys didn't leave out. They done a great job.
Amen.
On him. But there was one place. You know, it says there, and this is what God said. God said this in my reading of why, or Paul said, and inspired of the Holy Spirit to write, he said, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. There's a particular church not long ago, but it's been one of the old timey churches. Got a brother sitting here that passed it for years, and they was giving him a little trouble over it because they wanted something a little easier. And I loved it before he got out because he seen what was coming. He was a minority. But there was a man stood up in this pulpit, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. I think it's the last year I helped Bible Grove. It happened while we were there. Stood up in that church. 26 came to the altar. Someone started to bow, and he said, oh, don't bow. Got up and there was 26 stood there in front of him. He told him not to bow. Told him to stand there and repeat the prayer. And at the end of it, said, you all stay. Not one knee was bowed. Was told not to. I bowed when I was lost. I cried out when I was lost. I cried at night when I was lost. I was in the bed and mother would come and pray for me. I was lost. I wasn't saved until that peace came in my heart and that old condemnation that I've never had since. I've been condemned of things, but I've never had the condemnation that I had when I was lost. I was the worst person that ever lived. I was when nobody could have been as bad as me. That was my faults and that was what my heart was in. But I tell you what, it was the Holy Spirit that brought me down to where I got.
Amen.
Because I wasn't old enough to know the Bible. I wasn't old enough what all they were preaching.
my daddy had told me how it would feel. Yeah. Talking to my first cousin that got saved a week before I got saved. In another revival. Never thought, never felt that. So it was how it would feel. Tell your children that. Brother and daddy, be sure that you tell your children about God's saving grace. Amen. Don't let the preacher be the one to do it. Don't let the Sunday school teacher be the one to do it. You be the one to do it.
Amen.
I blame my daddy for feeling that way at first. But I thank him that he was the one that told me about how I would feel when I got lost. Amen. See, he had to drop it there. Because he couldn't save me. But I fell in the altar Wednesday morning after going to the altar first time on Sunday morning. And I knew that. You know, our salvation manifested to us in different. But you don't have to pray a hard prayer to be saved. The word help. When you put all your dependence in one that can help you. And that's Jesus.
Amen.
For what he did on the cross. Amen. When you go there. As the song said, take me to the cross and I find my way home.
Amen.
When I got to the cross, when I got to the foot of the cross, and the Holy Spirit helped me to put all of my trust in Jesus for what he done. And I said, Lord, help me. Is that peace coming to my heart? Praise God. I'm glad that I'm a pastor of a church that believes in being saved, just like I was saved.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm a pastor of a church that believes in being saved,
Amen.
Like I'm saved.
Amen.
Preacher brother, it's not going to get any easier. It's not. I thought it would. I've been preaching 30-something years. I thought it'd get easier. He hadn't got any easier. But I was dreading the day so much. I beg for your prayers, and I'll tell you something. I told you I might not get no sleep last night. I did. I got comfort came over me. I knew y'all prayed.
Amen.
Many of you told me you prayed for me last
Amen.
Night.
Amen.
Many prayed before.
Amen.
When a brother was a good friend of mine, almost like a brother, and I don't have no earthly brothers, made special effort to come this morning. Said his brother, I knew his brother's company and wouldn't be here. He gave me a call, and I said, I know your brother's here. He said, I'm coming. I said, I know your brother's here. Don't do it. He said, I've got another brother. I said, I'm going to give my support to him. That statement is precious, people.
Amen.
Amen.
If you don't ever give me nothing, even give me a hard way to go, I don't care. But I'll always give you your prayers.
Amen.
And I believe I can say that for every gospel preacher that's here.
Amen.
Just mention, call him to Jesus. Brother one time says, don't pray for me when it goes well with you. It might not ever go well with you. Just pray for me. Lady, first church I pastored, I knew what she made. She told me one time what she dropped. She told me, she said, Brother Chandler, I don't have much to give you. I said, that's fine. She said, but if it's any consolation, I won't tell you what I do. I pray for you every night. I said, that's worth more than any money you could ever give me.
Amen.
And yes, I felt her prayers. Yes, I felt her prayers.
Amen.
I felt yours last night. Thank you for praying for me. I've got a bank back there. It's beautiful. Come support me today from my church where I'm pastor, or the church that I'm pastoring. Thank y'all for coming. And everyone, I could see nobody here today. You see, that's how we don't look for the best. A lot of time we look for the worst. Is there going to be more saved? Yes. I'm not looking. There ain't going to be no more saved. Yes, they are. Because if it wasn't, we'd all be on heaven today.
Amen.
Not here. Because when his work, when that work's done, Jesus, our God, can't wait for all of us to get home. One scripture I always use just about when I do a funeral, somebody that's been saved. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Many nights I've talked to Jesus when my children would be out. They was on my toes for a long time. Then they got out on their own and they got on my heart. And that's when I talked to them about Jesus. I talked to Jesus about them. Because I wasn't satisfied to hear the doorknob. Nobody was them coming in, or I'd already heard the car. Nobody was coming in. Said I could just turn over and go sleep. See, God loves us that much. He sent Jesus to die for us.
Amen.
Yes, he's waiting for us to come home. Wherever it's going to be, you know, heaven. Jesus said there was mansions that God had built. Some said rooms. And I don't like it. Some Lord built me a cabin in Corn Glory Land. I know it's a good thing, but I'm not going to have a cabin. I'm going to have a place there in that holy white city.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, but I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Right.
I have not seen, ear, not heard what's been in store for all of us. That said what? Jesus, help us.
Amen.
John wrote a little bit about it, but he didn't tell us how good it is. Can you imagine a street that'll cover all that city 1,500 miles, 1,500 miles, 1,500 miles each way? Street of gold. Can you imagine it? Ruby, sapphire, all the foundations. Look, Ken, go to the jewelry store, the biggest thing you can find, and look at those gems in there. How expensive they are. We gonna walk on them as a foundation. Why? Because we mentioned Jesus. We call on his name. Jesus is what it's all about. And it's not about us. It's not about it. It's about Jesus. I went to a singing Thursday night. I mentioned a little bit about it. Man, he's told me some experiences I've sat around where they've gone to other places and they've even been told, don't you sing a song about the blood. He said, we went into our bus and we prayed about that. He said, we don't know a lot of songs that don't include the blood. They proud and they got up and walked out to the bus door. And he said, we're going to sing just like we always have. And the songs that we always have sung. If they don't like it, they ask us to go or whatever. But we're going to do what God has always led us to do.
Amen. Amen.
They did that. That little church in Iowa, he said that was about five saved, and one of them was a deacon. And he says, you know what else? The preacher got saved the week after and called us and apologized for all he had said. He said, I didn't know what it was to have the blood applied to my heart. I preached it, but I didn't know about it. And you may say, will anybody get saved like that? Yes, they can get saved with a lost person talking about the scripture because he's going to honor his word. He's going to honor his word because it is the truth. The person telling it may not be of the truth of salvation, but it is the truth of the word of God. It's going to be here when the world burns. We're going to have it. They try to do away with it, but God's got his own in it, and if somebody's going to keep it, if they all have been burned just about, somebody's going to have it. It's happened before.
Amen.
The word shall, the earth shall pass away.
Amen.
With fervent fire, but my word shall never pass away.
Amen.
I think I preached one time on a doctrine sermon on the Bible. When I'm the happiest, when I got my Bible on, walking in the church and knowing that I'm going to be able to call and say and talk about Jesus without putting in the virgin birth that I wrote about that started, without his perfect life, without him being a false trial with all the things twisted that he was, to make it something bad. But it said he says he's the Son of God. He was. He was the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
And he, each one side of the face of the disciple on Sunday. Maybe he did. When he goes through the field. He had holy days. He's on them. There's three holy days that was given by God. But when Jesus come on the scene, they had holy God, holy days for everything. They was man-made. There was a lot of things man-made when Jesus come on the scene. There was a lot of things that was going wrong when Jesus, but he didn't stoop to nothing. He lived a perfect life. Because he was the one that everybody said, you give us some rules, you give us some laws, and we'll keep them. They did. And there's one on the Ten Commandments, probably, that we take. You know, the first five is for God, against God. Sins against man is the next five. And one we can do and sin the most, I guess, and hurt the most. It's what we do to God every day. He said, remember, he said, always put me first. Remember God. I forget how they go. But he was. But the next thing that goes with what we can do against somebody is our own mother and daddy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Nobody's ever done that. Complete, I don't believe. How many in here has ever done what your mother and daddy told you to do? Everything? Everything with your eight hands out? You can't. Because you know we can't. It's just one of them to bring us to the schoolmaster to know that we got to have some grace applied to our hearts and life. It's not what we deserve, but it's by grace he lets us have it. The song says, I'm not what I am. I'm not what I am by, should be, but by his grace, he saved me. When grace and faith comes to a crossroads in a person's life, that's when Jesus has said, that's it. This person's done all they need to do. Looks to God. Points at the blood, because the blood has never lost its power.
Amen.
It's still in existence because it was not corruptible. It was incorruptible. And it's still there. It's still saving. One song one time they made, just one drop of blood will save. Never been a bigger one told than that. Because it took every drop of Jesus' blood to save me, to save you. They don't save by the multitude. They save by individuals.
Amen.
Because that's why nobody has got a same kind of testimony, word for word, verbatim by verbatim. It's manifested different. So you have your salvation that God gives you. I have my salvation that God gives me. He don't save a multitude, but he can save a million, one at a time, one a million at a time.
Amen.
He can save in Jamaica. He can save in the Virgin Islands. He can save in our churches on Sunday morning. Or he can save in Japan. He can save anywhere if they've heard the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Why? We got nations now that don't believe in God because they went home and they didn't talk about Jesus. Peter preached that. He preached to them about Jesus. Great, one of the greatest sermons. Oh, Paul. Paul. He heard about Jesus by one of the preachers that was a deacon. Oh, Stephen. One of the greatest messages in the Bible.
Yeah.
He pricked his heart. Because he went on his way carrying some more that it might blaspheme God, deny God, or deny Christ. And he fell on the road to Damascus. What did the voice come say? You know, all of them sinned right, but they didn't hear that voice.
it's also, why curse, excuse me, it's hard to believe against the pre-elect of the nation. He'd run a race against the Christians. He was an old wolf dog. Oh, I always said he was an old wolf dog after all of those little lambs. There in Jerusalem. Trying to get them to deny their salvation. Deny their faith in Jesus Christ. But oh God, he got a hold of time by a message that had been preached by Stephen about Jesus and what they'd done to him. And he pricked his heart. Just as much as he run for the Pharisees and fought for the Pharisees against Christ, he got saved. And Brother Beals got me on this one. Why the world can deny the love of Christ and what Christ can do? Take Paul for example. He had everything. Chief of the Sanhedrin. Whatever he wanted, he could get. But then when God saved his soul, he didn't want those things. He didn't want those things. He could put anybody in prison. But when he got saved, he was put in prison many times. But he still preached Jesus. He run just as hard for Jesus as he did for the devil before he got saved. There was a raw roofer on him for running for the Lord. But when he got through, they got ready to have a little chop. What did he say? I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Henceforth, he laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Jesus. And I'm going to read some scripture to show you. That's what Paul preached about whenever he did. In Acts, Acts 18. And that's what a good old seeker's for. I couldn't think about what the scripture was. I told him what I wanted. Brother Dennis just reached over and got it and handed me the Bible. Thank you, Brother Dennis. I forgot about this until this happened in the morning, but here it is. Paul was out on Mars Hill. He got up there and his heart was broken. He seen all of these gods out there, ones they worshipped. But then there was one. It said to the unknown God, they didn't want to leave nobody else out but one that they might be mistaken. They didn't want to leave none out. And they made one to the unscription to the unknown God. And here's what he said. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship and declare unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temples made with hands. And here's another. This is the big one. Acts, the 8th chapter, somebody said he was in the thing this morning. In the 8th chapter, of Acts, Philip first was in Samaria, who they was in his in their thing, and said he was preaching unto them Christ. God called him away and told him to go down south to Gaza. Here's what he found. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now when he says Spirit, that's part of the Godhead. It's important. It's got his personality to do what it does. And that's to reprove us, knock and tell us that we've got a chance. That God sent him. Well, of course, it's working on us to open the door. He said, if any man open, he said, I'll come in and I'll sit with him. That's the Holy Spirit. That's Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit was here on Philip. And Philip said, in the 27th, and he arose and went, and he behold, a man of Ethiopia. And Enoch, of great authority,
under Candace, the king of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation and judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? His or himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And it's not about us.
Amen.
Today, anybody, he could fulfill his pulpit that God's called to do it. But I'm so glad that I was chosen to stand one more time. Maybe my last time I ever stand before the association. Message. But I cherish them all and thank you for your prayers. But it is Jesus. As a man said Thursday night, he made a statement. He says, you know, this thing's all about Jesus. He says, somebody here tonight needs this. And I punched Susan. I said, that's me. That's me. When he said that, I got a good feeling. And I told him at the end, I said, I needed that.
Amen.
That was for me. Because you just got through saying part of what my subject is. And I know you said it was for somebody. I said it was for me. It might have been for somebody else, but it was for me. It is all about Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And it's not about us.
Right.
He can use anybody to do what I'm doing.
Amen.
If they've been saved, I mean, he's you. Some good doing it and not saved. But anybody that's saved, he can do this for them. Thank you for hearing me. You don't ever get nothing what I've said. Just remember my text. It's all about Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
It's
Amen.
Not about us. Thank you for hearing me. Put them on.